Forward Momentum.
Forward Momentum presents Sea of Stars, a voyage of the space cruiser Argo. In the year 2212, the Earth was subjugated by the Comet Empire. After 5 years of occupation, the Empire has decreed that our world must be destroyed and humanity exterminated. Even now, the Comet Emperor himself journeys to Earth with all the might at his command. Our only hope is a fragile alliance, a handful of rogues and rebels against all the might of the Andromeda Galaxy. Now the Argo is preparing to warp the light years between our solar system and the star of Telesart, hoping to find a way to save Earth from the certain doom that awaits it at the hands of Emperor Jamorta.
Signal from the Arcadia, Captain. They say they should reach Earth within the hour.
Very good, Mr. Reyes. Convey our thanks to Captain Harlock and his crew. Radar, engineering, report.
Course is free of obstacles.
Power building. Charge at 83%.
Very good. All hands, this is the captain. Secure all stations and stand by for long-range warp. At your discretion, Mr. Drake.
Aye, sir. The countdown is starting. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Warp!
Leaping to speeds beyond that of mere light, the Argo breaks the chains of Einsteinian physics and hurtles into the dim vastness between dimensions. Meanwhile, near Earth lunar orbit, another vessel returns to the embrace of our universe after a warp of its own.
What's our status?
Approaching lunar orbit. Ship came through the warp all right. No damage.
I see. Use the codes Captain Wildstar provided and contact the Earth forces.
No need, sir. They're already contacting us.
Are they now? On screen, then.
Aye, sir.
General Singleton. Has Wildstar told you of recent developments?
He did, Captain Harlock, and that you'd be taking up station at Earth.
Oh, we'll be doing more than that. I understand you've been attempting to evacuate the planet.
Inasmuch as is feasible. There are several billion people down here. We've been fortunate that the Empire hasn't taken action against us, yet. We had moved several thousand people to facilities off-world, but those are both in-system and now full.
I think we can help you in both regards. The world of T'Nulp has a non-aggression pact with the Empire, and has agreed to accept as many Earth refugees as you can send there. As for ships, Second Mate, how are the convoys coming?
There are two groups so far. The first wave of ships is being led by the cargo vessel Queen Emeraldis, and should arrive in the next day or two. The second is headed by the mercenary battleship Karyu, and should arrive a day or so later. The Karyu herself will remain at Earth to help with defense.
How many civilians can your ships hold?
There are just over 200 ships total. Most are large freighters. A few hundred thousand per trip, assuming they don't mind being crammed in like sardines.
I see. We'll mobilize as many civilians as we can, then. Have you heard anything from Emperor Deslok?
He left to gather the rest of the Galmon fleet. The ships he brought with him initially are providing escort for our evacuation freighters.
Good. Thank you, Harlock. We'd be in far more trouble without you.
Earth is my home too, General. Now, to specific plans.
The core of the Comet Empire is the Imperial Family. They are the center of their society, the material manifestation of their God's will. The eldest son, Prince Zordar, was exiled long ago for the crime of siring a weak blood into the royal line. He died in disgrace, trying to expand the Empire's borders. Ever since, his remaining siblings, Imperial Princess Isri and her twin brother Crown Prince Darkal, have been at odds. They clash constantly about the direction their society is going, the fate of the Empire, and what is best for its people. Now, both travel to Earth aboard the Emperor's personal comet fortress, and for the sake of the father they love, Prince Darkal has come to his sister with a possible compromise in their long argument.
Sister, may I speak with you?
Enter, brother.
I trust you are well today, Isri?
I am, brother. Yourself?
Oh, fine. Just fine. Isri, I know things between us have been tense these last years. What with Zordar's shaming and his death. However, our constant bickering is distracting, Father. We cannot allow that.
I agree, brother. I truly do. And yet, it is my duty as one of the royal family not only to support the Emperor, but the Empire as well. I cannot in good conscience do both when the good of one outweighs the happiness of the other.
Isri?
No, Darkal. I will not lie to you. How long has it been since you saw some part of the Empire besides its frontier or our homeworld? The people starve. Hatred of the ruling elite grows every day. And only the iron boots of our soldiers prevent it all from going up in flames.
We are the chosen people of Goram. It is our destiny to rule all this universe.
Darkal, do not give me religious platitudes. Our empire is dying, and yet you and Father refuse to see it. Not in this generation, perhaps, nor in the next, mayhap. But soon there will come a day when those we claim as inferior shall demand a reckoning of us.
Enough! I came here to ask you if you would desist in the talk of signs and portents long enough for us to finish our work on Earth. Let Father finally put the ghost of our brother to rest, and then perhaps we can turn our eyes homeward once more.
I am sorry, brother. This quest for vengeance of Father's, it is at the core of everything. We must stop this before we destroy ourselves.
Very well. I can see nothing will sway you. Regrettable. Good day, Isri.
Darkal, when will you stop trying to fill Zordar's shadow and merely be the brother I love?
Far across interstellar space, the Argo materializes from warp in the Telazart system. The crew lay stunned, overcome by the mind-wrenching fatigue of a continuous warp.
Navigation, report.
Warp completed. Colin, what's our position?
We're on the outer fringe of the Telazart system. 10 kilometers out of intended destination. No navigational hazards detected.
Engine functions normal, but the ECS lines are a bit sluggish. Though that could just be me. I'm feeling a bit off.
Okay then. Radar, what's out there?
Sensors show, sir, there is a white dwarf star right where Telazart should be, but, Captain, there appears to be a planet orbiting the star.
What? How could a planet possibly form in only 2 decades?
Let's find out. Ops, deploy survey satellites.
Yes, Captain. Survey probes launched.
Combat, scramble the alert fighters. Have them do a flyover.
Aye, sir. Hangar Bay, launch alert fighters. They are to investigate the world orbiting the nearby dwarf star.
Receiving telemetry from the probes. Atmosphere is well within human tolerance. Oxygen count is actually a bit high. Detecting ambient atmospheric moisture, clouds, lakes, even small seas. Abundant plant life as well.
Planetary gravity is about 0.78 of standard. Diameter and rate of rotation. Sir, the world is entirely capable of supporting human life.
Any sign of habitation?
Nothing in orbit.
No communication signals either. No sign of any signals, for that matter.
Sounds like an untouched paradise. IQ-9, anything else unusual?
All reports indicate the world is capable of supporting many varieties of life. However, there is low-level EM interference surrounding the planet, and I cannot identify
Is it dangerous?
It does not appear to be. It is probably a symptom of the planet's rapid generation. However, there is no sign as to how said generation took place.
I see. Okay, people. Find us a nice large lake or something and bring the ship down for a landing. Whatever we're looking for, I think we'll find it down on the surface.
Aye, sir. Drake, there's a good spot near the equator. Relaying coordinates to your station.
Got him, Colin. Now let's ease her down nice and slow.
The Argo carefully approaches the mysterious world, everyone on the bridge thinking exactly the same thing. How could this world exist? Eons of planetary evolution crammed into a scant 15 years. The ship from Earth gently touches down in a large equatorial lake, sending ripples across its comparatively still surface.
Splashdown complete.
Well done, Mr. Drake. Combat, ops, I want surface patrols deployed. Have them look for anything out of the ordinary. And have them stretch their legs and enjoy the fresh air.
What about the rest of us, Captain?
Well, rotate shore leave for everyone else. Starting right now.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
O'Donnell, Schneider, try and find a place nearby to land the alert fighters. Just because they can try and land in the bay with it below the waterline doesn't mean I want them to try it.
Roger. Scans show a large plain nearby. Low vegetation. Should be ideal.
Roger, Argo. Sitting down. Okay, Philippe. Let's park these birds and cut loose.
Amen, boss. I think I could lose myself in that big forest down there for a while. You?
Not me. I'm making for that lake. Can you remember the last time we had enough ambient water to go for an honest-to-gosh swim?
Good point.
The recent destruction of the Scourge fleet and the death of General Garan with it has thrown the Common Empire forces within the Milky Way galaxy into disarray. Most of their ships still occupy the recently conquered Galman regions, but some few small patrols are scattered throughout the rest of the galaxy, keeping a watchful eye on the forward marches of the Empire. One such patrol group, under the command of Major Terrell, is tasked with patrolling a particularly empty portion of space. With few worlds to patrol, his troops have grown restless. When a signal is received aboard the group flagship, news of a possible call to action is greeted with great anticipation.
Major Charles, sir. Message for you, sir. Mark command eyes only.
I see. Piper down here.
Yes, sir.
Computer, voice recognition. Terrell, Beta 6-9. Play message.
Moments later, Major Terrell strides purposefully into his command bridge, and all eyes instantly fix upon him.
Analysis section. Have we received any unusual readings from Sector 9 by 14 by 7?
Working? Yes, sir. We have a possible warp field, but it was so faint the computer classified it as a sensor echo.
I see. Navigation. Set our course for that sector. Stealth attack profile. Strike order to all ships.
Sir, what has happened?
We found the ship that killed our general. We found the Argo.
Up on the main gun deck of the Argo, Samantha Vandam is luxuriating in her first breath of fresh air since the Argo's launch. She revels in the warm sunshine and the cool breeze through her hair. She barely hears the hatch behind her open, or the sound of someone approaching.
Oh, Sam. Sorry, I didn't know anyone else was up here.
It's all right. I was just enjoying the moment. It's so lovely here.
Yes, it is. I thought you wanted to go ashore.
I did, but this is better. It's the first chance I've had to be alone in months.
Oh, jeez. Sorry, I'll leave you to it then.
No, Jordan, you can stay. I just meant that it's the first quiet time in a while. No ambushes ahead, no patrols to coordinate, just peace and quiet.
Yeah. I thought about rigging some fishing tackle, but it seems inappropriate somehow.
That's what I like about you, Jordan. Your sense of decorum. Unlike some of the boys in this crew.
Did something happen?
No, nothing like that. Let's just say that the male-to-female ratio on this ship has become a bit pronounced.
I see.
It's just boys being boys, Venture. They're nice enough, but I like my men a bit older. A bit wiser. A bit more seasoned.
Well, I have, yeah. Got...
I think I'll go finagle a trip to shore after all. Go stretch my legs. Want to come along? Unless you've got something better to do, that is.
Nope. Can't think of a thing.
On the shores of the Equatorial Lake, a small party is gathered to enjoy the simple pleasure of sun and water, no longer possible on Earth.
Where did they dig up this funky old boombox?
And it's a long fly ball to deep center field.
I got it! Aw, oh, crud, I don't got it.
Somewhat apart, May Gideon and Michael Vega sit, talking.
So, what about you, Mike? What's your story?
My story?
Well, you all but interrogated me about mine. So share.
Not much, really. Like you, I was in the academy when the Empire invaded. I was about to graduate, too.
How come we never ran into each other?
Well, I wasn't in the military side of things. I was in the astrogation and cosmic studies track.
You wanted a billet on an explorer ship?
Yeah. Ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to see new places. To push the horizon back just a little bit further.
Wow. So, how'd you end up as combat chief then?
Yeah. It was right about the time we started the refit of the Argo, and I'm not proud of it, but it was right after I got the news about my brother. I suppose you could say I was motivated to make the change.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, you two. Why so glum? This place is paradise.
Whoa, Neville! Here, towel off before you drip all over the place.
Sorry, bud.
Yeah, right. Did Cook set up that improvised grill yet?
Yep, burgers and dogs in 15 minutes. He says, at least.
I think I'll go see if they have anything cool to drink.
Oh, good idea. Bring me back something, too?
You got it.
Wow, you two seem to be getting along a lot better recently.
We slugged each other in the nose, and now we're friends.
Friends, huh?
What exactly are you suggesting, Drake?
I'm not suggesting anything, May. I'm outright stating.
Me and Mike?
Ah, Mike is it now, eh?
Oh, go soak your head. Oof. Again.
I bet you Doc filled that cooler. All it had was beer and some fruit juice that's definitely been on this ship since... May. You okay?
I'm alright. It's just... I got the strangest feeling. I think... somewhere nearby I have to go. But I don't know why.
Well, Captain said this place might hold answers. Let's find out. Lead on, May.
Communications Officer Race. You are listed as the officer on the watch. That means you're to be on watch and awake.
Oh, give me a break, IQ. Everyone else is out on shore leave. Besides, we both know that all I'm supposed to do is sound the alarm if anything comes up on the scopes, which you would, of course, warn me of should it occur.
Nonetheless, the regulations state that you are to be awake and alert while on post, which is not...
Fine. I'm awake, so back off. Blasted tin-plated dictator with delusions of... Wait. That doesn't seem right. IQ.
Yes?
There's something odd about this data stream. Can you run a remote diagnostic of Survey Satellite 9?
Working. Stand by. Diagnostic complete. Unit function normal.
Then why is it broadcasting on multiple frequencies?
Unknown. Signal analysis recommended.
You think? What the? There's a completely different set of data going over a different frequency.
Processing. Secondary data does not confirm to any EDF encryption pattern.
Save your processors, IQ. I recognize the pattern. It's an Imperial code.
Nearly 3 miles from the ship, Max Stevens and Colin O'Donnell explore the vast forest that rings the Equatorial Lake. Colin remembers the Ireland of his youth and its rolling green pastures, while Mac is tense, constantly looking for enemies where none seem to hide.
This place is incredible. All this lush green, towering trees. Strange that it's younger than I am.
I don't like this place, man. It feels, I don't know, wrong somehow. Hostile, even.
Mac, we're surrounded by nature, not shock troops. Or is it that all the mean old trees are actually bigger than you?
You know what's worse, though? It all seems familiar. Like something here's calling me.
Whoa, alright. That was weird.
You heard it too? Naomi? Sharon?
We're waiting for you.
You're dead. Both of you. I watched them shoot you.
What the blazes is going on? Mac, imp soldier by that tree.
No, not again.
Mac, wait!
You won't do it. You can't have my wife and daughter. Not again, you alien bastard!
Stop. It's Philippe, stop!
Philippe?
Philippe, don't move. Let me check you over.
I'm all right. Just tell me you got the license number.
Naomi! What? Where'd you... Colin? The hell's going on with this planet?
In his quarters atop the Con Tower, Captain Wildstar is being briefed by Reyes on his discovery.
You're sure of this, Reyes?
Yes, sir. IQ is still working on most of the message, but they included our coordinates.
A beacon.
Looks that way, sir.
How long was it running?
No way to know, sir. Probably since the satellite was launched.
Did any hostiles receive the signal?
No way of knowing, but I can't imagine it went unheard.
Great. Storm's coming and we've got a fox in the henhouse. This is getting better and better.
A Comet Empire task force is on its way to this new world of Telezart, summoned by a wolf in sheep's clothing. But even as Wildstar ponders the traitor's identity, a deeper mystery looms. Great truths whisper on the breeze, and the wind that will soon blow will shake two entire galaxies to their very cores. You've been listening to Sea of Stars, Episode 8. A Forward Momentum production. Based on Uchu Senkan Yamato, created by Leiji Matsumoto and Yoshinobu Nishizaki, and Star Blazers, which is copyright Voyager Entertainment. Heard in this episode were Sean Hill as Michael Vega, Scott Breakall as Neville Drake, Jim Perry as Colin O'Donnell, Zach McHugh as Hans Schneider, Philippa Ballantyne as Sam Vandam, Dave Frizzell as Jordy Venture, Nathan B. Butler as Joaquin Reyes, Emery Kinney as Max Stevens, Jonathan Edward Dolnier as IQ-9, Joe Harrison as Captain Derek Wildstar, Silas Carter as May Gideon, Alan Smithy as Philippe De La Roche, Dylan Spencer as Captain Harlock, Jason Rambos as Thomas Vega, Eric Olp as Prince Darkal, Natalie Van Sistine as Princess Isri, and Sarah Moore as General Singleton. Also heard were Jeffrey Lincoln as the Comet Empire Tech, Matthew R. Smathers as Major Terrell, Peg DeGrazia as Naomi Stevens, and Shang Shang Yu as Sharon Stevens. This is Mark the Encaffeinated One Guilfoyle. The episode was written and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series is drawn from the original Uchu Senkan Yamato anime, composed by Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda. Property-specific sound effects drawn from the Quest for Iskandar and Comet Empire DVD box sets, available through Voyager Entertainment. Sea of Stars is a non-profit fan production produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Blazers, Uchu Senkan Yamato, or any other copyrighted materials herein, including any unoriginal music and sound effects, are reserved to their original creators. No infringing claims are intended.
This program is dedicated to my father. This one's for you, Dad.
In the world of podcasting, danger lurks around every corner. Tech nerds hand out obscure expertise. Pseudo-psychiatrists give out free advice, worth every penny. Sci-fi geeks stalk the unwary, unloading useless trivia. Podcast novelists plot to take over the world and threaten to swallow your soul. It all sounds like an adventure. And if adventure has a podcast, it must be Indiana Jim.
That's me, Indiana Jim, the intrepid arch-geekologist. Join my guests and I for a podcast with blistering commentary on the world of entertainment. I'll interview authors and discuss my own writing journey. We'll talk publishing and community in the age of podcasting and social media. There'll be random sketch comedy and tangents of irreverent laugh-out-loud insanity, all without breaking the clean tag, which can be a real adventure. Listen and you'll know you have chosen wisely.
Go to podcast.indianajim.net today and join the adventure.
Forward momentum.
For those of you just joining us, a rogue boomer has appeared in the industrial area of southern Megatokyo. The AD police have responded and are about to move in. We take you now live to the scene.
First squad up. Second squad, assume right flank and cover.
It's moving! It's charging us!
Weapons free! Weapons free!
Go get some, you dumb robot! Yeah, you mama's a lawnmower!
It's no good! Our men are just bouncing off that thing!
Daniels! Daniels, report!
Crud, it's slaughtering us! Pull back! Pull back!
Lightsabers, take it down!
Forward Momentum presents a new take on an anime cyberpunk classic, Bubblegum Crisis, the audio drama. Coming soon to ForwardMomentumProductions.com.
If there's one thing I've learned in life, it's that I really need to learn something else. That's why you should listen to The Weird Show every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. That's where I try to figure out what it is I thought I was learning, and hopefully learn something about it, through the medium of weird news and odd thinking. TheWeirdShow.com. Subscribe today. It's a podcast.
Tired of this being anime today? Remember when anime was awesome?
Watch out!
It's Manime, the new anime podcast chronicling the best in anime for guys from the classics to the new classics. Manime, it's anime for guys that like anime. Check out the blog and podcast at manimepodcast.blogspot.com. That's manimepodcast.blogspot.com. Keyword, manime.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to this Forward Momentum production. If you'd like to hear more, you can visit our website at, all one word, forwardmomentumproductions.com. There you'll find links to all our audio dramas, as well as Forward March, our news and information podcast. If you'd like to send us some feedback, you can send us an email at forwardmomentumproductions@gmail.com, use the contact form on our website, or you can leave us a voicemail at North American Area Code 585-54-AUDIO. 585-54-AUDIO. Thank you once again for listening.